What's happening, guys? Welcome to the third episode of the Secure D podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I know, I didn't do an episode last week. I think I was a little bit optimistic, thinking that I was going to punch one out every week. Every fortnight is going to be the way it goes from now on. I think it's just a little bit easier for me to put it together this way, and it's going to make sure it maintains its quality and doesn't just become boring and we don't start pushing out terrible topics. This week, Laurie's back for the three-peat. We talk about our favorite pro models for SB, our favorite SB dunks, as a bit of a follow-up from last week's battle, as well as the Kobe 10 and a few other bits and pieces. And I have a bit of a vent about NBA All-Star Weekend. So once again, thanks for tuning in. Please do hit us up on Twitter with the hashtag SecureDPodcast for topic ideas, and we'll shout you out in the episode if we use them. And thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hey, dude, what's happening?
Oh, not too much. Yourself?
Yeah, busy painting and stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah, nice, man.
How's Globe treating you?
Yeah, pretty well. We finished up our sales conference quite nicely, but had a bit of a treat. Went to the Oz Open final on the weekend, which was pretty good.
Oh, rad. Got a killer match, too. Maybe minus the last set, but those first three sets were insane.
Yeah, it was really good. I don't think I've been to a better tennis match in my whole life, so... Yeah, I don't know how they just weren't giving up there for a long time, but yeah, it was awesome.
What was the feeling in the stadium when Djokovic looked like he was about to tap out? Like, because there was those moments where he was falling over and
yeah, it was really odd. Everyone was behind Murray like 100%. We all thought Murray was going to win, especially in the third set when you're two games to love up. And then Djokovic just hit this extra level, broke serve, won the set, and then 6-0'd him in the last.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
It is indeed. Well, yeah, no tennis for me, but as being a basketball guy, I wanted to quickly get a little bit of bitching out of the way. All-Star Weekend is coming up for the NBA, for all you basketball fans, and I can't stand NBA All-Star Weekend anymore. Like, not even as a drinking game is it fun for me. Like, for the last couple of years, it got so boring that I would literally turn it into a drinking game to make it fun. But I think even that has worn off. And I have a couple of things. I know you're not as big of a basketball guy as me, but I kind of wanted to run a few of my basketball ideas past you to make it more fun.
Let's do it.
So this isn't really one of our topics, but I just had to get this off my chest. So the dunk contest has become meaningless. Like, what made it so significant in the past was, you know, Jordan was in it, you know, Dominique Wilkins was in it. And now, for instance, if you're not a regular basketball watcher and you turn on the dunk contest and you see LaVine and Mason Plumlee, you're not going to have a goddamn idea what's going on.
Yeah, like, I personally, not following the NBA that closely, I wouldn't have a great idea of what's going on.
No, so minus their jerseys, you'd have no idea who they were. So I have this thing where, like, the dunks are getting a bit boring and repetitive. And granted, they did try a bit of a different system last year. But one thing that is the biggest, most, like, the biggest draw card in the NBA isn't a dunk. It's a dunk on somebody, right? And N1 used to do this many years ago when you went to their live events. I guarantee, like, nobody wants to get dunked on. No one wants to be on a poster. But if you pull a kid up from the D League and you go, I'm going to give you a chance to block DeAndre Jordan on national television, I think there's a good chance someone's going to step up and take that challenge.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
And I will wait all day to see DeAndre Jordan crush that kid's dreams.
That would be amazing.
Oh, that would be killer. And I know everybody would be pumped about it. Sure, he might not do a 360, but he will wreck somebody, and that is a 100% way for that dunk contest to be better to me. Or even if it's just like one of the three dunks, like you have like two freestyle dunks where you can do whatever, but then the third dunk is like dunk on a D-League player or like dunk on like someone.
Yeah, you get extra points, like if you can get past them, it might put a bit of effort, but then putting in effort at the All-Star Weekend, we don't want that, do we?
Not anymore. You know what's funny too? I don't, like, you might not know this, but like they've changed the rookie sophomore game into like the internationals versus Americans because so many of the rookies are injured this year.
Oh,
so
no.
Like literally maybe 7 of the top 12 rookies are out with their injuries. So there's like no way the rookie team can play.
Yeah, no.
So another idea I had, which I thought would just be silly, is like all these like big centers, particularly like sort of flex and do stupid stuff after they, you know, get a dunk or block. We could have like a bench press contest, like center court, get like Kendrick Perkins and like all these like brute enforcer dudes and have like a max rep bench press contest.
That'd be cool.
I think it would be funny, and like it would also give someone on court bragging rights for the rest of the year.
Oh,
like,
totally. And they've got time off before the next game. It's not the end of the world, right?
Get a couple of days off, do it on the Friday or the Saturday. And then my last idea was they do the skills challenge, which is like a, it's like an agility test. I want, and all the guards do it. So Damian Lillard, Steph Curry. I want to see the agility challenge done by people bigger than 7 foot. So I want the centers to do the agility challenge. It would be hilarious. I want like, or like, you know, centers qualify. So if you're 6'10", that's fine. I'm not going to, you know, be pissy over 2 inches. But yeah. I want Serge Ibaka versus Kendrick Perkins versus JaVale McGee versus Andrew Bogut. I want the big dudes doing dribbling challenges and jump shots. I think that shit would be hilarious. And I would 100% watch that as well.
Yeah, well, it'd be cool to see them, you know, sort of doing, you know, because they're all talented athletes and they can all do this stuff. But it's sort of good to see them try a little bit harder and not just put the guy that's the best at it in the spot.
And that's the thing, like, and they're not even doing that really anymore now, particularly in the dunk contest. Like, granted, the guys go a bit harder in the All-Star game in the last quarter when it gets tight, but, yeah. like, I think that's
do
what's
going to...
Do
you get to the last quarter? Have you not switched over yet? Like, come on.
I think that's what's probably going to make the rookie-sophomore game interesting, because I know the internationals are going to want to beat the Americans, and the Americans are not going to want to get trumped at All-Star weekend. I reckon there's a bit of chance that could get niggly. I'm looking forward to that. It's probably the only thing I'm looking forward to on the whole weekend.
Yeah, well, that, you know, just touching on All-Star to finish off, being an NHLer, I watched the All-Star game last weekend or 2 weekends ago, whenever it was. Yeah, I switched off. The score, I think, was 22-17. Like,
For ice hockey.
This is ridiculous. The most entertaining was the skills, super skills. But no, the game, I don't know. It's non-contact. None of the guys are trying. None of them want to get injured.
That's probably the same
as NBA. Switched over to Pro Bowl. It was on the same day. And I don't
Ridiculous. I don't even know where they do the Pro Bowl.
It was awful. Mm. It was... I couldn't even
it's
like.
It's basically
keep watching
touch,
it.
Right? Like, why don't you just make it touch?
Yeah, they were. It was like hug tackles. They weren't even putting them to the ground. Like, yeah. I know that it's not about hurting people, but it just wasn't entertaining. There was no effort. No one even cared.
Well, as a defender, like, I'm not a. I do love the NFL, but I'm not an expert. But like, I don't even see how you can display your defensive skills in a game in that situation. Like, what's the point of even being there?
Oh,
like,
totally. Especially you got 100,000 people in the stands as well.
Oh, like, wow, 100.
Well, the stands were granted, right? Whatever,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah. I think the Super Bowl today was about 77, and it's at a college stadium, which is insane.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that I've got that off my chest, I think we'll roll straight into the topics today. The first being a bit of a roll on from last week. After doing the SB versus Jordan battle, a lot of people asked us. I don't think we addressed it. What our favorite SB was. So I've kind of broken it down into two different categories: SB dunk and then pro model. So do you want to have a crack? Do you want to have a first crack?
Yeah, I'd love to. SBs are my thing. Loved collecting SB dunks, you know, early 2000s. There's a lot of awesome releases there. My favorite all time would be the Uncle Dunk. So it's a high...
I'll cross that off my list.
Yeah. Oh, come on. It must be on a lot of people's lists. It was an awesome shoe. It was a funny one, this one in Australia. This one hung around in stores for ages. And then...
Isn't that weird how that happened? I remember that.
Yeah, it was... I remember it being in shop windows. And then it was quite odd. 6 months, like, rolled past. You couldn't find them. Next thing you know, they're, like, $750 on eBay.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's just, like, the price. But love the shoe. It's, like, a light pink with black and white. Awesome design. And I reckon that's probably my all-time...
It borderline set the foundation for art and SB shoes too, I think. I think if that shoe wasn't so successful, I don't know if we would have got all the other crazy artist collabs. Like, it was almost like a tester, because before that, there was some...
Sabotage before or after?
Well after.
After, yeah.
Well after.
Because that was a really early one.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, like, the collabs beforehand, like the Supreme one and stuff, had basically been material choices.
Mm.
And that was the first one I remember where I was just like, holy shit, like, I don't even know what that shoe is.
Yeah, well,
I've got
notables. I don't know if you want to... I'll just quickly...
No, give me a notable, because I've got notables too. And...
Yeah, I saw you've done them in the past, so I thought I'd chuck a few on there. So Supreme Lows.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
No-brainer.
Like, it built It built the brand. It built everything about it.
Yeah.
And then just for design wise and colors, like Heineken's and MF Dooms.
Oh yeah.
So MF Dooms.
My favorite MC ever.
Oh.
Alive or dead, by far.
You slept on these ones, I believe.
Yeah, I did because I didn't like the shoe and I regret the shit out of it. But
Doom really is good. Oh, really good.
I was just, you know what? I'm such a Doom fan. I was like, oh, that shoe's so plain. I'm an idiot.
It's like 3M. It's got the gel sole.
It's one of those
different
ones.
Insoles.
I regret the shit out of it.
Anyway, what do you got?
For me, it was kind of tough because I'm good friends with Sabotage. So like I have, you know, like goggle vision when it comes to this because he's my homie. But so I've tried to, I've sort of put that aside. My favorite is the De La High.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a couple of pairs. That's on my list. I don't know if this is true or not. Well, I know this is true according to Wiki, but ever since that shoe came out, all I've ever said is that it looks like the Ninja Turtles. Like, it reminds me of the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I guess it does, sort of.
And apparently on that album, De La was sued by a group called the Turtles for an unauthorized sample.
Really? I didn't know that.
Neither did I. Because I literally, doing this, I was like, I just Googled, like, Ninja Turtles De La Soul to see if anything came up.
Yeah.
And this did. If this is a subliminal swipe at that sample, then this is the greatest shoe ever.
Who knows, eh?
Dude, it's so Ninja Turtles, it's not even funny.
Yeah, it's very, very true. Like, the colors, everything's there, right?
And this is when I still loved the Ninja Turtles before that bastard Michael Bay ruined them for me. Let's not go into him like I do in every goddamn episode. But if that was literally the play on that shoe, then it is so fantastic because it was that album. It was like that. Yeah, that's great. And then the low is great as well.
I was gonna say, where do you put the low? Is it on your radar?
The low isn't even close.
Nah, it's good. I've got a pair, but it's a tough one to get on and tough one to wear.
Yeah,
it's very white.
It's very white, and it almost looked like they had leftover lenticular material. Yeah, and it's like, let's pick another one.
Yeah, we got a few hundred yards of this.
Yeah. And there really is a lot of others, but you mentioned a few of them. I personally don't like them, but we can't deny what the TIFF is for people.
True. That missed my list, but it's an amazing shoe.
It missed my list too. And then, yeah, I guess like I'll call it there. Otherwise, I'm just going to start ripping up a whole bunch of SB names. But yeah, the Sabotage shoe would be my second. His material choice, color, the extra additional things he did there were really nice. So,
it's a great shoe.
Yeah, it's killer. So, and it stood the test of time as well. And like, you don't see things from Nike to this day with grip tape and stuff on them that he used. So, really, really great shoe. It's very hard to transfer customs to production. Mm. I don't think people realize that. Very few customizers have actually got collabs. I think myself, Mark, Methamphibian, Dave White, who isn't really a customizer, I'm missing someone. I know there's one more, but there isn't many of us, and it's quite a struggle. You go from being able to do anything you want to dealing with so many constraints, and I think Mark did it very well with that SB. So that would probably be my second. Now, I'll go first on Pro Model because you already know what it is because we've talked about it before. It's the P-Rod one.
Yeah.
It's almost in my top five shoes of all time. So it's right up there. I have almost every colorway. I think I have 12 or 13 pairs at last count of P-Rod 1s. P-Rod 1 is the only reason I would accept retros from Nike SB. The shoe just kicks ass. It is so comfortable. Has the Zoom Air unit. The embossed PR logos on the heel are amazing. They had some killer colorways. It is one of the first shoes I did a custom job on that got a lot of press, so it also means a lot to me for that. But just such an amazing first pro model. Like, I think of all the pro models in other, you know, worlds, the T-Mac one, the Question for Iverson, all these other things. I think for me, the P-Rod one is potentially my favorite.
Well, so. It wasn't mine, but it also meant a lot more for the brand as well. First Mexican pro skater,
yep.
I believe. Also, it's what they built their whole brand around, and
definitely,
they got a lot of credibility. He's an amazing skater. Yeah, very good pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll in. This was hard for me, being an SB fan. I went new school, sort of new school, and it was because I was trying to think of shoes that were popular, how popular they were at the time.
Yeah.
Janoski's for me.
Yeah, Janoski's broke
Like, they just broke stores. Like,
it was amazing. Like, the fact that it was when SB started to wane a little bit. And but I love the brand so much, it didn't really bother me. I was like, it's all right, no worries. And then this shoe came out, and I needed every color.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get them. And it was amazing. I had burgundies, the tan ones. You could wear them out. They were leather. Like, it was awesome. The cord. Then they brought Vault. Yeah. No, I thought it was a really good shoe.
It was super well-timed. It was the success of the Toki, I think, was just before the Janoski launch. Yeah. And people were all about the Toki because it was a sneaker you could wear and get into clubs, right?
Oh, so with the Perf leather or whatever?
Yeah. So yeah, I was rocking Tokis out, and then Vans became popular again, as they do cyclically, and the Janoski crushed. Like, the Janoski, I remember when that came out, I was working at Nike. That had Roshi Run style hype when that dropped.
Oh, it was insane. Like, I remember when it dropped, because we deal with all the skate stores, and we went in and I was talking to a few of the guys at the store that I know, and they were just like, yeah, we can't hold on to these shoes. Like, we got one colorway left. That's it. You know, do you want it? You had to get it on the day or else they were gone.
Was Janoski, as someone who hasn't skated for a long time, was Janoski peaking at that time? Like, because, like, to be honest, as someone who's like a part-time skate fan, I didn't know that much about him. I knew about P-Rod before the P-Rods.
Yeah. No, he was, their team is very talented. He was very talented, and he was killing it at the time.
Yeah.
It was not long after they released their Costins as well.
Yes, yeah.
They seem to be very, like, careful with their pro models and when and who they give them to.
And what happened to Salazar? He kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Because he had one, right? He did.
Yeah, he
definitely did. I have the yellow suede pair.
That's actually a really good point.
There's one that missed the boat.
Yeah, well, I guess it's like design versus talent as well. You know, you've got to nail it. You can't just get a... There's a lot of skaters, like, I know Globe Shoes, but so many skaters that just can't sell shoes as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why, the Janoski, just the silhouette of the shoe alone sold.
Oh, it was a very, very well-designed shoe.
Sweet. All right, we're going to roll into the next topic now, which is, who do we believe deserves a collab?
Yes.
So this was a suggested question on Twitter. And if you do have a suggestion for us, please hit me up at SecureD on Twitter or hashtag SecureD podcast. But that's pretty much the question. So we've kind of picked a whole bunch of different stuff. I'll kick it off. I think we just rapid fire these. I've got four. Otherwise, I'm just going to ramble. So I'm just going to give a sentence or two as to why I freeze.
Yeah.
My first one is Tristan Eaton, LA-based artist. Incredible muralist.
Yeah.
I love his work because the colors he uses are so similar to the colors I use.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a mash of so many styles of art that I like, you know, from pop to graffiti to a whole bunch of different stuff. He's already got clients like Nike, Jordan Brand, Puma, the Brooklyn Nets, Versace. It's a no-brainer.
Nice little list there.
I know, it's insane. he, if I'm not mistaken, just did like some sort of collab with like the Adidas Flux thing. I don't think the shoe was technically released, but you could buy it on the website using his artwork. Yeah. So it doesn't really count, but I'd love to see him get a collab, a sneaker collab. I think he'd crush it. Hopefully it's not lazy, but that's my first one.
I've put a lot of actual thought into this, and I don't know if anyone's gonna think.
Right, maybe we shouldn't rapid fire then.
I thought brands, I thought artists, and I just thought, well, brands and artists have done a lot of collabs before, and so is the topic that I'm thinking of. I've gone with a movie and a couple of movies and a few brands. The first one I thought was Jurassic Park.
Oh, my favorite.
You nail it, like you do. Adidas did the Star Wars. You nail it, and you have like epic leather that looks like a T-Rex, or like really wearable shoes with good colors.
Did you see my custom dunks?
Yes, I've seen your custom. If you Google it, that's like the first thing that comes up.
I can't believe you Google Jurassic Park and my shoes come up. I'm to this day excited about that.
Yeah, no, I love the movie, and it also reminded me today I watched the Super Bowl commercial.
Oh my god, it looks so good.
We could go into that for a while.
Yeah, let's not do that.
I don't know how the guy trained those raptors, but anyway.
I don't care. I don't even care.
But no, I thought it'd be a really cool idea. Just something a bit different.
that's definitely fun. And I'm 100% on board, man. Like, we own the Jurassic Park pinball machine in my house. That's how much we love that movie. So, yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. Next up for me is Insa. Now, to many people's surprise, I guess, he hasn't done an official Nike collab yet, at least on shoes. And to me, it was a no-brainer a decade ago.
Yeah, he was massive. Was it like mid-2000s?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember hype was around his name so much.
And he turned that pair of like Dunk Lows into high heels because he does a lot of like fetish stuff. And the fact that that shoe never came, a Dunk High or Dunk Low high heel Insta collab never came out is such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Particularly now with women being sneakerheads.
How many fakes were there though?
Oh, they faked the shit out of the Jordan ones. But
they were really good fakes.
They were pretty good fakes. Yeah. But yeah, look, I mean, Insta is blowing up again now. He just did that space graffiti, which is amazing.
Yeah, you mentioned that to me before. It sounds great.
Dude crushes. He still does cool stuff. His paintings sell for dumb money. I would, to this day, love to see a shoe with his high heel pattern on it. I mean, I do a lot of pattern work, so yeah, look, I mean, the fact that that didn't happen a long time ago, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but that was more of a no-brainer than anything, and I'm just shocked it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, good point. I'm going to just whip out, like, I've got another two, they're a bit random, one's a movie, one's not.
Yeah.
One's a favorite, another all-time favorite movie, Wayne's World.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, you know, complete. You can make it so awesome and just so nice Vance? And basic. Yeah, there was.
Do they wear Vans? Do they wear checkered Vans?
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, no, I can't. But I like, in terms of what you do with it, there's so many cool options there. Like, you could just take any of the themes like throughout the movie. You could do hockey, Chicago Blackhawks. Just keep it black with just the Wayne's World on the tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my last, I'll just quickly roll in. I just thought it'd be cool to do like an Instagram Dunk SB.
Oh, wow. Because like, I did the Google Dunk, which never technically came out, right?
And the eBays sold for the one-off for charity.
That was a custom, right?
No, they made that in China. What they did is they had a sample, and the photo that everyone sees is chopped in half. And they showed it at, I think it was Agenda, which is a trade show. Yeah. And they showed everyone, put it on eBay, all the money went to charity, but then... And whoever won the auction got it in their size, but then they chopped the shoe up so that it was the only one in the world that actually made production. Oh,
that's all. Because I've seen the chopped up picture.
Yeah, and because whoever, some rich person has it. But yeah, I just thought maybe Instagram, Facebook, it's a bit, you know, cliche, but it could be kind
of
cool.
I'm sure, like, out of all the social media platforms, for me at least, I think Instagram's probably the cool one. They could probably do it fairly well.
I agree with you. And they do try not to whore themselves too much, although they've had some advertising sneak on there.
That's giving me the shits.
Yeah, it's not cool.
And the auto-playing of videos, I got to stop that.
Yeah.
But the logo lends itself to pretty good material use. You've got...
Good colours.
Yeah, and you've got the brown leather grain, like high-grain leather sort of look. Yeah, I think you could do it, yeah.
Yeah. What do you got?
Good work. My last two are just my favorite rappers at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Doom is my favorite MC, so we don't need to go into that. But pretty much all that gets played at the moment in my place is RTJ, also known as Run the Jewels, and Childish Gambino. I'm a huge fanboy for both, for this group and also Gambino. The Run the Jewels artwork is rad. They're funny bastards. They're insanely talented. The production is so incredibly next level. And I nearly broke my neck nodding my head to RTJ 2 the first time I heard it. I can't remember the last time I liked an album that much. And Gambino is just ridiculous. If you don't already listen to Childish Gambino, like, sort your shit out. The guy is funny. He's a stand-up comedian, an actor, a writer, and a rapper. He freestyles with metaphors. The guy's insane. And if they're going to give an Air Max 90 to Dizzy Rascal 5 years ago, then they can goddamn give one to Childish Gambino.
Oh, totally. But and, it doesn't reach the masses, though, does it?
Well, who cares? Did, like, oh, yeah, okay, look, Dizzy had some big hits, but Look, these are for me, Laurie. Oh, all right, these are for me.
I'm not defending it. I'm just giving you a point there. Like,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
It all comes down to numbers, right? It could have been on the table. Who knows?
I don't know.
Be on the table. This could push it over.
Or maybe I'll just make a custom one and send it to them. I don't know.
That'd be cool.
All right, we'll wrap that up. We'll head on to the next topic, which is the Kobe 10. The pictures of the Kobe 10 have leaked. Been released. The shoe comes out at the start of February. And it's got a really mixed response online. Some people hate it. Some people only wear basketball shoes these days with jeans when they go out, which is retarded. So they hate it. But I just wanted to talk about it a little bit because they seem to have done some innovative stuff. And I want to talk about whether or not it even matters if Kobe plays basketball anymore. Because for the last 2 years, season-ending injuries, but there's still 40-odd colorways of this shoe coming out that sell out. And is it the legacy now that's selling Kobe's or the design? So, for instance, I want to kick off a few quick facts about the shoe. Designed by Eric Avar, the creative director and VP of innovation and design at Nike. And probably the thing I wanted to talk about first was the Zoom Air unit encapsulated in the Lunalon heel. And then obviously the translucent midsole so that you can see all the tech on the inside. I kind of like the translucent midsole so you can see the tech on the inside. I think that's cool. My only concern with the podular Zoom Air unit is squeaking, which does happen sometimes. But I think it's a cool idea. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, you brought this topic up to me, so I did a little bit more research into the shoe because I'd only sort of see with so many shoes releasing these days.
It's insane.
It's hard to keep up. But no, like I had a bit more of a look into it, and I really love the see-through sole. Yeah, I don't know how that air sole is going to go, but the X under, like the 10, the Roman numerals under the shoe looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like the gel or the see-through outsole that LeBron's had with the colors.
Yeah, that's like my favorite thing in the world.
That, you know, and they were selling, they put it on that running shoe as well. And they
the Hypercross trainer.
Nailed it. I know people that have nothing to do, not sneakerheads at all, and they were just loving the colors on the bottom of that. But this has got apparently amazing grip.
Yeah,
it changed like a track pattern on it. I've got it in front of me, zoomed up. It's like three little crosses in sort of like a diamond formation all over the shoe. It's almost like a skate track pad, like that you would see on a skate shoe.
Yeah, and they've quoted as saying the most effective traction system in 43-year Nike history, which is a huge call.
It's a pretty big call, especially when, you know, you've got such history of making basketball shoes. How has it taken you 43 years to get here? But hey, I guess they've been working on it, right?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. Hopefully it holds true. For me, the Kobe 4 we had better traction than the 5 and 6, so it's interesting to see why the 10 will be so far ahead of all the others.
Well, I guess you've got to sell a shoe somehow. And it goes back to your point. Is it Kobe, the dynasty that's selling the shoe, or is it the design of the shoe? Well, it could go both ways on this one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Kobe's are going to sell until 20 whatever, like the Jordans are selling. But, you know, maybe that's why they're stepping the designs up and like innovating so much with the shoe.
And that's the thing, right? Because I remember when T-Mac and Iverson would wear a shoe, like a brand new color on court, there might only be 4 or 5 colors for the year. And when you saw T-Mac rock out in a new pair of T-Mac 2s, you went and bought them.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore. Like you are aware of the shoes 3 to 6 months before they come out. It's irrelevant whether or not Kobe wears them. It's borderline irrelevant if he plays now, I think, in these shoes. Like, they're going to keep making the performance, like, Kobe line. And I think it's part of the reason we're seeing an escalation in price in the Durants as well. So when Kobe does retire, the Durants take the top tier, and then the Kyries come up and take the spot of the Durant. But just a few other, like, little things about this. So the criticisms of the Kobe 10 are that it's a little bit plain looking. And I would not disagree that it does look a little bit like a generic Nike shoe from the outside.
Mm.
So I couldn't find much information on the upper, but it did say that it's a new upper weave textile inspired by sharks and their tough, strong skin.
It looks cool.
Which is interesting. I look forward to seeing what they can do with it. I've seen 2 or 3 colorways and the midsole has changed, but there hasn't been a lot of innovation in the colorway or the application of the material in the upper.
I like the teal they've used on them on like the press release.
Yeah, it's a good first colorway.
Yeah.
And then I'm always surprised that a Lakers player doesn't get a Lakers colorway first. Like, how does that not happen? Like, that isn't that the reward of being at the Lakers is that a Lakers colorway comes out first, because the Bulls colorway came out first for Jordan, right?
Yeah, well, hold on. It's coming out this year, right? Lakers. Listen, I'm not a NBA too much, but I'm just going to check the record on how they're going. Yeah, yeah.
When Jordan Hill's your best player in trouble.
Yeah, but no, it's a good call. Like, the Bulls colorway was just like a no-brainer, and the Lakers colorway would also be a no-brainer.
Of course.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is what you're getting back to. It's not that Kobe's going to play in them. It's just a shoe.
It's the reason I stopped collecting LeBrons. I collected LeBrons up until the LeBron 4, and I have every color of the LeBron 4. I think it was like 15 or 16 pairs.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, this is ridiculous. And then the LeBron 5 came out, and there was like 30 colors. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not about this anymore. Like, I'm done with collecting these shoes because it's ridiculous. There is also an inner mesh booty, which I always love the inner like boot system. It fits my foot perfectly.
It's good support as well.
I agree. The Mamba scale inspired tongue pattern, which is, you know, harks back to his nickname, which is rad. And the four lines on the heel representing his return from the Achilles injury, which is borderline sadistic. Like,
it's a little bit. I didn't realize that's where it came from.
Yeah. That's what I saw in the press release.
Is it to like hold his Achilles together?
I don't know. I don't want four red lines where my injury was. Like, yeah. To me, that's just like a metaphorical target on my Achilles. Like, I don't want.
Especially because they're like infrared or they're red or whatever they
are.
They're
red. Yeah.
It's like, this is going to break.
So yeah, look, I mean, it's going to be one of the biggest shoes of the year, obviously. Unfortunately, Kobe isn't going to be playing at All-Star to launch it due to his surgery. But I think undoubtedly it's going to be a success. Whether or not it's going to be a success in streetwear, we'll have to wait and see what other colors get released. But it's an interesting shoe, and now I just can't wait to see what else is coming out for the rest of this year.
Yeah, it's funny, like, you say, is it going to be successful in streetwear? And sometimes, like, the uglier the shoe in terms of a basketball shoe, the better it works on the street, just because it's such a statement.
Yeah.
And this shoe is not that ugly. Like, it looks really quite nice and pleasing to the eye. Is it too much like a general sort of Nike running shoe that you can pick up at Foot Locker any day?
Yeah.
That it might not have the streetwear appeal. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, it's up to us to decide with our wallets. So we'll see how it goes. True. So basically, that's it for today, guys. We hit the half an hour target for the first time ever, which is great. We're literally at 31 minutes. So I just want to say thanks for tuning in. If you do have any suggestions, obviously you will have noticed this has gone fortnightly. I grossly underestimated the amount of time it takes to do this and overestimated my ability to be able to punch it out in a week. So we are going to be doing this fortnightly now. And if you do have any topics, please do hit us up on Twitter with the hashtag SecureDPodcast or at SecureD. And then you can subscribe on iTunes as well. So thank you for tuning in, guys, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Cheers, guys.